To the book of Revelation, the 13th chapter. Revelation chapter 13, page 1342 in your Scofield Bible. We'll be reading one of the verses from that chapter, and then we'll turn to another chapter in the same book. We'll be reading the 8th verse, and we'll read that all of us in unison. But let's stand together, please, for the reading of the Word of God, and you'll begin with me then on verse 8. Ready? And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Turn to Revelation chapter 21, page 1352, 21st chapter, and we'll begin with verse 22 and read through verse 27. The text verse in this case is the 23rd verse. But beginning with verse 22 through 27. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of the Lord did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall be shut all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life.
Some of the fellows in my office this morning before we came over, I said, I don't think my people are going to understand what I'm preaching on this morning. And then I said, the reason is I don't think I understand it myself. It is a sermon this morning. It'll not be lengthy, but it's a truth that you will not understand it if you listen casually. If you just casually listen, look around, see what everybody's wearing. Every once in a while, look up here, check in the choir and see who's asleep in the choir. And then listen to me, look at me again, you won't get a thing. But if you will this morning give to me your total attention and let this truth have a chance in your mind to lodge therein, you will leave this service this morning, I think, with a hosanna in your heart because of Calvary and all it means. I want to speak this morning on the subject, the cross, a visual aid. I guarantee you, unless you've heard me preach this, or unless, well, I'm sure I'm not the first person to ever learn this, but you probably have never heard this just exactly like it would be given in your life, and yet, and it's a little heavy, really, but if you listen carefully, anybody can understand it. If you listen carefully, I mean, you'll know what I'm saying. I won't know what I'm saying, but you'll know what I'm saying. And if you do know, and you see me after the service, tell me what I said. But I want to share with you this morning the depth of Calvary, the mystery of Calvary, the happening of Calvary, the duration of Calvary. And so I invite your careful and rapt attention. Holy Father, I'll be glad when I get to heaven so I can understand all of this. Every once in a while the door opens and a little light comes out. Just enough light comes out to make me want to know what else is behind that door. I pray this morning you'd whet our appetites as we give a little sneak preview of heaven. A little sample, a little forerunner, a little first fruits of what it's all about. In Jesus' name, I pray you'd help us. Amen. Focus your attention right here, if you would, please, and let me, in just a few minutes I have remaining, let me share with you a blessed truth. I'll not have time to be repetitious much, so you'll have to listen to the things I say as I say them. On a recent Sunday morning, I preached about our not knowing the plan of salvation. I made mention of the fact that we see only that part of the plan of salvation which is necessary for us to know in order to go to heaven. I do not know all of the plan of salvation. God did not give to me all of the plan of salvation, nor did God give it to you. He gave us enough of it to where we would know what to do to accept it. We only see what is necessary to get us to the place where we can learn it all. I do not know all, for example, I do not know all of the righteousness that God required in Christ. I do know that Christ fulfilled all of the demands of God. I do not know all the things that Jesus did on the cross. I don't need to know all He did. All I need to know is that He did it all. What all is, I don't need to know. Now, this morning, I'd like to apply that same outlook to Calvary. We have looked at such subjects as the fact that Romans 8 says we're already, in Paul's day, I was already justified. In Paul's day, I was already glorified. I already had my glorified body before the foundation of the world. We've gone to that. But this morning, I'd like to apply that same reasoning to Calvary. Let me illustrate. Now follow me very, very carefully. Let me illustrate. We on earth live in time. God in heaven lives in eternity. That's impossible for us to understand. But we relate everything. This is 1985 A.D., the year of our Lord. We live in time. But God knows no time. To God, a day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day. So we live in time, and God lives in eternity. Now follow me carefully. At death, we pass from time into eternity. So my mama today, who went to heaven on September 20th of last year, my mama today no longer lives in time. The afternoon of September 20th, my mama transferred him and I from time to eternity. Now, when she went to heaven, she immediately had the ability to fellowship with all of the eternal ones. That means the moment my mama got to heaven, she could fellowship with Elijah, Abraham, and Isaac, but that isn't all. My mama entered into eternity. And since I possess eternal life, him and now, my mama fellowships with me in heaven today. Now, I do not see her. I do not fellowship with her. But I have eternal life. And in the mind of God, who knows no time and only knows eternity, there is no time. Consequently, time is not a handicap of those in heaven. Now, my mama waits for me to get to heaven, but not so she can fellowship with me. Because she already fellowships with me in eternity because she knows no time. You understand what I'm saying? Well, that look like you do. If you don't look like you do, shake your head, nod your head, look intelligent whether you're not. You look like a bunch of dumb bunnies. But, okay. Now, so I'm saying that my mama is not limited by time. There's no tomorrow with mama. There's no yesterday. She now is in the I am place. And since she is in the I am place, she knows no limitation of time. So as far as my mama's concerned, her son is already in heaven. Because that which is eternal in me always has existed and always will exist. And so in heaven, they know no time. They only know eternity. Consequently, my mama already can fellowship, and I love that. I love that. In a sense, we have a fellowship together this morning, waiting for the day when this robe of flesh, I'll drop and rise and seize the everlasting prize and shout while passing through the air, farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer, and I shall enter into eternity, and I too then can know what eternal fellowship is, which always is, never was, never will be, but always is. Now, let me see if I can confuse you some more, and I believe I can. Let me transfer that to Calvary. Now listen carefully. I think it'll sort of come in focus in a minute. Let me transfer that to Calvary. Brother Colston read a while ago a scripture that said in Revelation 13:8, and I had some fun with it this morning. I said I want to read three scriptures. I want Revelation 13:8, Revelation 21:23, and Revelation 26:8. And he wrote down all three. He's going to read them all three, except the only 22 chapters in Revelation. And but you can't expect a fellow who's just a preacher to know that. But we read a while ago in Revelation 13:8 that he was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. What? I thought he was killed or slain 2,000 years ago. He was in time. But in eternity, he was slain before the foundation of the world. Then Brother Colston read another passage in Revelation 21:28. It says, looking out yonder into the New Jerusalem, out yonder in eternity, it says, behold, the Lamb is the light of the city. So, in John 1:29, John the Baptist said, when Jesus came on the banks of Jordan to baptize of John, John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God. So he was a lamb before the foundation of the world, a lamb slain. In eternity, Christ was slain before the foundation of the world. Now, in time, he was slain 2,000 years ago. But in eternity, he was slain before the foundation of the world. Now, in eternity, he will be slain in the New Jerusalem. So I'm saying, as far as Calvary is concerned, that Calvary has always does exist. He is, the Bible says, a lamb freshly slain. Let me illustrate. And this will help you. In the choir this morning is my sister. We became aware, probably about a year ago, that my mother was going to die. All that could die of her. Now, it did not change my schedule a great deal because I promised my mother I would never cancel a speaking engagement because of her illness or of her death. But it changed my sister's life a great deal. My sister stood by her bedside and worked and toiled endlessly. Now, there came a time in my sister's life when she knew my mother was going to die. Now, as far as my sister was concerned, Mama died every day. When my sister walked in there, say last June, July, or August, and changed my mother like you'd change a baby's diaper, and took care of my mother as delicately and as gently and as patiently as anybody I've ever known. When she walked in there and saw my little mother's body, nothing but bones wrapped in wrinkled flesh, Mama died every day. Then there came September the 20th, and Mama died for all of us. But as far as my sister was concerned, Mama died every day. Now, she goes back to the apartment where Mother used to live and where she still lives. And she wakes up every morning and walks by the room where Mama's body used to rest. And she looks and sees the bed that's unmade, that's made and unused. She sees in the closet the clothes not worn. She sees the footprints that Mother left. She sees the chair where Mother sat. Now, I'll guarantee you, every morning, Mama dies still. Now, in your mind, my Mama died September 20th. In the mind of my sister, my mama died all every day until she went to heaven, and she still dies just like she did. Now, in my mind, and God means this, in my mind, 2,000 years ago, Jesus died on the cross. We took the bread a while ago to remember his broken body. We took the juice to remember his shed blood. And we look back to Calvary, and that's what God wants us to do. But that's in time. In time, there was a day, there was a month, there was a year, there was an hour, there was a minute when Jesus gave up the ghost. But in eternity, in the mind of God, Jesus always died. God knew Calvary would come. God the Father knew that He would become flesh, and that flesh would be ripped and torn, and the blood would come and ooze from the ripped flesh. And God knew that someday He'd have to turn His back upon Jesus and the great suffering heart of God the Almighty. David always knew that Jesus would go to Calvary. Now listen to me. There was a Calvary. Jesus did place our sins on Himself 2,000 years ago
on that little hill like a skull outside the northern wall of the holy city of Jerusalem. There was a Calvary. Jesus did suffer all of my hell. He suffered my sins. He paid the penalty on a hill far away, stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And this morning, I stand up and say, hallelujah for the cross. Thank God there was a Calvary. He did suffer, but that was in time. Yet in the great mind of the eternal God, Calvary is always present. If this morning you reduce Calvary to the level of a Roman execution on a Palestinian hill, you only see the tip of the iceberg. But when you see the cross as a mystery, an unveiling in time of that which is eternal in principle, you get something of what the cross is all about. When the heart of God is always crushed, when the hands and feet are always pierced, when His soul is always poured out, when the cross is only a visual aid, and that's all it was, God was saying, you don't know what sin does to me. You don't know the broken heart of sin. You don't know the suffering that sin brings in. And if you just knew, if you only knew this morning what sin does to the heart of our God, you'd hate it and flee from it. The reason we ought to hate sin is because of what it does to God. And this morning, if you just knew what your sin does to your God, who loved you and gave Himself for you and paid the penalty, you knew what. And so, what God did, God said, I want my people to see my suffering. I want them to see what sin does. I want them to see a little visual aid of the great heart of myself. And God pulled back the veil of eternity and let time take a glimpse of His pain and His suffering. And there for a few moments on the cross, God incarnate looked up and saw the Father with His back turned toward Him. And Jesus said, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? And there for a while the sins of all the world were heaped upon Jesus. But that's not all that God suffered for your sins. He always has suffered for your sins. He now suffers for your sins. Calvary is but a picture of what's going on today in the heart of Almighty God. Calvary is but a picture of what God will always feel. God always hurts like Calvary. God always suffers like Calvary. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, you have no idea the concept of the hatred that God Almighty has for sin. And when God, who hated sin with such a passion, realized that the reclaimed man, he had to have his justice satisfied, and that justice was satisfied by God Himself becoming a sacrifice. Hear me now just carefully. It was impossible for you and me to see what God suffered for our sins, because God's suffering is eternal suffering. The Lamb slain before the foundation. Listen to me. If you've got an ounce of love for Christ in your heart, you ought to have it broken right now. I mean, it's enough to point to Calvary and see the nails in His hands and His feet and the crown of thorns on His brow and the nudity and the mocking and the suffering and the shame and His soul dipped into hell. But you can't confine in eternity all of that to one little hour, 6 hours on a cross, on a hill. That suffering is eternal. The Lamb slain before the foundation of the in the mind of God, Jesus suffered before the world was founded. In the mind of God, before a star twinkled in the sky, Jesus went to the cross. In the mind of God, before there was a moon that could shine at night and the sun to come as a bride from a bride chamber in the morning time at the sunrise, there was a Calvary. In the mind of God, before there was a world spinning its way through space, there was a Calvary. In the mind of God, before a flower bloomed in the springtime, and before a drop of water dropped from the sky, and before a snowflake ever tiptoed its way toward earth, there was a Calvary. In the mind of God, before there was ever an insect to crawl on the face of the earth, or a bird to fly in the sky, or a fish to swim in the sea, or a man to walk the face of the earth. There was a Calvary. In the mind of God, before there was ever a tree to offer shade, before there was ever a mountain rising like a pyramid of Giza above the horizon, there was a Calvary. In the mind of God, before there was ever a world, there was a Calvary. He was the Lamb slain. He was slain before there ever was a world. Look! When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss and pour contempt on all my pride. See from His hand, His head, His feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, a thorns compose so rich a crown? Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were present far too small, love so amazing, so divine, demands my life, my soul, my all. Just one little day there on the cross, when for 6 hours He was there, that demands my all. But brother, Jesus did not pack Calvary into 6 hours. Calvary always has been, and Calvary always will be. God Almighty suffers for sin every day in eternity, just like He did 2,000 years ago in time. Calvary was only an object lesson. Calvary was only an object lesson. We took this morning the object lesson that reminds us of the object lesson. I do not know all that Jesus suffers this morning, but He suffers right now as much as He suffered on Calvary. He always will. Now you listen to me, and you listen to me well. So you and I can go to heaven and rejoice forever. God suffers forever. Did you hear me? Did you hear me? So you and I can rejoice and praise His name. There never will be a time in the heart of Almighty God when Calvary doesn't take place. The Bible says, it didn't say that the New Jerusalem is lighted for the King, though He was a King and is a King. It does not say the New Jerusalem is lighted, the light of the city is given by the Lord, though He is Lord. It does not say that the New Jerusalem will have its light given by the Messiah, though He is the Messiah. No! He is still the Lamb in heaven. Thousands and millions of years from now, as we count time, our Savior will still be on the cross in the mind and the heart of Almighty God. And so when holding the bread and cup this morning, we not only remembered Calvary, we recognize the fact that Calvary exists today. And Calvary has always existed. And Calvary always will exist. As I said, if you reduce Calvary to a level of a Roman execution on a Palestinian hill, you only get the tip of the iceberg. When you see the cross as a mystery, an unveiling in time of that which is eternal in principle, for the heart of God is always crushed and the hands and feet are always pierced, and His soul is always poured out. The cross is only a visual aid. The curtain of heaven is open to show you man, show man as best he can understand what sin does to God. I'd love to be able to take you this morning into eternal. I wish I could show you. I do not know all He suffered. I think that's one of the marvels of heaven when we examine all that happened on the cross and all that happens all the time. Brother, I wish it were possible. Hey, did you ever wonder? Listen, did you ever wonder how there, when Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And He dipped His own soul into hell. Did you ever wonder how in the world that Jesus, in that short time, could pay your penalty for sin? He didn't. He didn't. He paid it, and is paying it, and is paying it, and is paying it. Calvary in time. Calvary in time took place 2,000 years ago. But brother, God Almighty will never get over sin. God's heart will never cease to be broken. And here's what Calvary was. Calvary was God saying, I want man to know that I'm paying the penalty. I want man to know how much sin does to me. I want man to know the awful penalty of sin. God pulled back the veil of glory and tiptoed to the earth, born of a virgin, walked among men, was despised and rejected and hated, went to a cross, and on that, through that bloody spectacle of Calvary, God took His own omniscient mind and tried to compress it so finite minds like ours could understand what Calvary all meant. We won't ever understand it until we get to heaven. I hear a Savior say, "Thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray, find in Thee mine all in all." Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. But in the mind of God Almighty, the same hurt that He felt 2,000 years ago, He felt 10 million years ago. And the same hurt He felt 2,000 years ago, He'll feel 10 million years from now. If you can only get one or two things this morning, you can find out how awful your sin is. How wicked your sin is. And then how it hurts God. God said, "Do you want to know how I hurt all the time? I'll pull back the veil and drop myself to a cross. Let you just get a glimpse of me and what sin has done to me." He always was the Lamb. He was a Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. He was the Lamb slain 2,000 years ago. He's the Lamb slain today. And in eternity in the mind of God, when we get to heaven, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun, He'll still be the Lamb. And the heart of God will still be suffering for what our sins did to Him. Every one of us ought to bow prostrate before Him this morning and say, "I don't understand it all. I don't understand all about Calvary. I just know it satisfied the righteous demands of God." And then one day, I'll tell you why some of you folks don't even listen in church. You're going to have a spell in glory. I'll tell you why some of you folks can't wait to get home and don't even love God enough to stay during invitation. Tiptoe out. You're in the closing prayer and don't stay for baptism. You don't give a flip whether the folks get baptized or not. I'll tell you why some of you are going to become Hiles Anderson and college nuts when you get to heaven. I'll tell you why. Because whenever the curtain is pulled and you can see through eternity and not through time, all that Jesus did for you and all that God has done for you on the cross, you're going to say, "I can't believe it. I can't believe it. He loved me that much that He always suffered. He always suffers. He always will suffer." And you're going to bow down before Him and sing, "Glory and honor and blessing and power and majesty and might and dominion be unto Him that sitteth upon the throne." The Lamb slain. Our Heavenly Father, I just understand a little bit of it. I just understand that whatever happened 2,000 years ago satisfied Your justice. But I don't understand all the rest of it. And to think that Your suffering will never end. Mine will. Yours won't. My hurt will someday end. Yours will never end. I'll be in a place where there's no pain for me. You'll always feel the pain. The eternal God. Oh, my God, today, what we see ought to drive us to give our all. And the fact that we only see the tip of the iceberg ought to drive us to say, "Bless God, I'll give my best." Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.